Brad's seen me a lot over the last. It's been a lot of me over the last.
Well,
I talked
to Brad once this year, and I actually talked to him back in 1998, and he won't remember that conversation. But that's for a different time.
It's been a lot of me, and it's been a lot of busy time for you. Let's start off just your overall happiness level and your overall feel as to how this day has gone for your team.
Well, I think we got better today. You know, as I've said repeatedly since coming, I think you got to be very careful at free agency. You know, it's not a situation where you're curing all your ills, but we had certain things targeted as a team, and we accomplished those today. You know, we wanted to add depth, and we wanted to improve ourselves in net. And when I say improve ourselves, that is in no way reflective of any confidence issues in Carriramo, but I think competition is good. Mm-hmm. When you can add depth, when you can add competition in a particular spot, it's only good for the organization. So adding a guy like Jonas, who's been in the league, knows the West, has been a good NHL goaltender for a period of time, I think that helps us. So that was a goal. And when I look at where our goaltending is throughout the organizations, you know, in the time that I've been here now, you add Jonas here, obviously we think we've got a real good one in Joni Ortio. This allows his time frame to be proper. And then you look at down the line with John Gillies and Mason McDonald, a young guy we drafted this last week in Philadelphia. I feel better. We're better in net than we were, a month ago. And then, you know, with the addition of Mason Raymond, obviously with Mike choosing to move on, we wanted to add an NHL player who we think brings an element. Area we wanted to address, obviously, is somebody who has some offense, but we wanted to increase our speed quotient. And this is a guy who brings pace. He brings speed. He can do a lot of different things. I think it gives the coaching staff. Bob's excited. He can move all over the lineup. But also give ourselves and leave ourselves some flexibility if there's other opportunities down the road. Today's just one day. You know, you don't stop improving your team after today. So, but we also want to leave some boxes open if somebody comes into camp and is ready to play. So I like the addition of Mason, but I also like that we have flexibility up front. And then Derek Englund. Derek is a guy who has generated a lot of interest. He's a right shot defenseman. And I think, you know, a lot of people in some ways, I think there's a lot more to his game than what he's shown in Pittsburgh on a deep team, on a deep blue line. The other part with Derek is the character and the DNA off the ice. I think he fits exactly the type of profile and the type of people we want around here. An excellent teammate. So in all cases, you know, it was important for us to keep our term at 3 years and under. We've got some flexibility in terms of our numbers over the next little bit. These do not handcuff us moving forward. And in Derek's case, we were able to probably be more aggressive than some teams could. You know, he was looking for a longer term. We paid a little bit more, got a shorter term, mm-hmm. which was important to us. So I'm happy where we're at today.
The Derek Englund signing is the one that's got a lot of attention. Let me ask you, did it end up being a bidding war for his services? Is that how you would categorize
it? Well, anytime you've got people in it, it's going to drive the price up. And it's not something we didn't expect. Mm-hmm. You know, I know there's a lot of people that were trying to, you know, you look at his number, and I think the outside world says where he was at last year, you know, you give him a small raise and he'll come. Obviously, he had a lot of interest, and it took us what I think is a significant commitment to get him to come here. But again, I'm fine with that. The term, I wasn't interested in anything longer than 3 years. And knowing our situation right now, we were able to be a little bit more, I guess, aggressive in numbers. There's some people that were interested in Derek that didn't have room to get him in at that number. We thought it was a good opportunity for us to use our flexibility and get him in on a three-year term.
When we talked to Derek, what he kept saying is that I'm going to get an opportunity here, that I'm going to get a chance to be more than what I've been in Pittsburgh. Mm-hmm. He expanded upon that. Can you expand upon it? Because I'm assuming that's part of the selling point, right?
Yeah. You know, this day is about, obviously, players want to get looked after financially, but they want to go to an opportunity where, you know, more is expected, more is if earned, more is given. And, you know, as we said to Derek, we're the one area that we have work to do here as an organization is growing our defense. Yeah. And growing our reserve list of defense. I think we've, you know, you look up front, we talked about goaltenders, you look up front, we have some gold or some forwards coming. I think we do have some young defensemen. We need more of them. And I think Derek right now is coming in at a great time to bridge that gap for us. And hopefully he can, like I said, there's an opportunity him for to play more, have a bigger role, and I know he's excited about it.
Brad, you said something to Pat and Dean after round one when you were talking, after the Sam Bennett pick, they were asking about the marketplace, and I thought you said something that was really interesting is where you're at right now, you really don't have what the Anaheim Ducks had to be involved in the Kessler deal. Can you kind of, because I think you've touched on that a couple of times, where you're at right now I think is really important that people need to understand, right? Sure, you could be big players, you could splash around money, but you keep talking about term. Can you just give us a little sense of that?
Yeah, it's not, and again, for us to get into some of these deals, you look at the asset cost, we're not there. We're not there yet to start shipping out 2 and 3 assets for players. You know, part of this is keeping the assets you got, adding to them, and bridging your way along here until you can grow your asset base. And, you know, I think in a lot of ways, all three players of us do this for us. And, you know, you look at some of the deals that have happened for some of the, you know, the bigger names out there, there's significant costs going back, whether it be young players, whether it be asset picks. We're not there yet. So we have to continue to do what we can to look at tomorrow and give ourselves an opportunity to have some success. But our eyes are on down the road too. And I've got no time or no appetite to mortgage the future to start putting young players in deals that's going to help us be a little bit better in October. We took advantage of some opportunities here from a cash basis here on free agency. And the key thing too is that we've got great flexibility right now. You know, we're gonna be patient and see if there's opportunities that present themselves. Be aggressive when they are, but I think we're in a good spot.
Brad Tree Living's with us. Hey, and kind of further on that, have you found that it has been maybe more difficult to make some moves, just knowing your situation as it is right now, that maybe you're not necessarily being looked at as a top destination right now? And how much do you see that improving as you move along here through this process?
Well, I don't know if it's not necessarily top destination. Again, we could do a lot of things. You know, if we want to start putting young players in deals, first round picks in deals, there's deals out there. I've got no interest in that. You know, but I think everybody looks at the development cycle of a team. And, you know, as much as we're pushing to be as good as we can starting this October, you know, this is a long-term outlook here. And as we continue to add pieces here, you know, you see our draft. I think we had a very successful draft. You add a guy like Sam Bennett, you know, the depth that we've gotten in the draft, we have to continue to add to the cupboards here. And, you know, we're building. So I don't worry at all about whether people are wanting to come here or will come here. This is a great place to play. We're approaching this with a long-term vision. And as we get further down the road and we're in a position to get involved in some of those big things, we will. But, you know, right now it's about building for the future.
A lot has been made about getting bigger and getting tougher and that type of thing. But Mason Raymond comes in, that's not necessarily his game. So there's more to it than just a one-dimensional thing. Yeah. You're looking at more than just one piece of the pie, right?
Yeah, and again, that part of that is not necessarily to be overblown. I mean, part of this is to, you know, as you add some of the people that we've added here in the last little bit, I think it's going to create an environment for people like Mason Raymond, people like some of our young players to have success. You know, people like Sean Monahan. You look at the Backlunds of the world. I think we've upgraded in terms of our size and our bite, but you know, those are especially the two players that we've had in that category. You look at Bollig and you look at England. These are guys coming from very good organizations. They've, you know, won a Stanley Cup. Pittsburgh's been a team that's been a top contender in the East. They're bringing those attributes. They've been around those dressing rooms for a while. They bring that experience, if you will, and And both are guys that are eager. We talked about Derek. Brandon's looking for more opportunities. So to me, I think we've added that culture and, if you will, that base for confidence and courage for all of our skilled guys. But again, this is about getting better. We have to continue to look at getting better.
Did you find that the window to talk to unrestricted free agents, did you find that have, it obviously had a big effect league-wide, but what about for your team and for your negotiations?
Well, it obviously sped things up. You saw the speed at which these deals were being rattled off here today. So I guess it allows you to have some discussions and at least get a little bit of a sense of what players are looking for. Mm-hmm. I guess the timing is one thing that I've struggled with, if you will. A lot of that work was done last week in Philadelphia. You're there, really preparing for the draft, and it was new for everyone. When we went through this process last year, remember this came after the draft, so it was between the draft and the free agency. Free agency was moved back a few days. So you weren't on top of each other. I felt, and even talking to a lot of the managers around the league, it was difficult. You're in your amateur meetings, and you're leaving to meet with agents and make calls and have visits to find out. So there was a lot jammed into a small window this year. But I guess it was a benefit in the sense that you saw the speed in which I think it made the TV guys happier. They had much more to report than the radio guys happy when there was much more to report earlier. Is it good or bad? I'm mixed on that right now.
Brad, curious about how you organized your war room. Mm-hmm. Because you now have two assistant general managers. You've got a president of hockey operations. You've got Chris Snow that handling the analytics. You've got Mike Burke. How did you organize? How did you... set your staff in motion today?
Well, we've been meeting the last few days. We spent a lot of time, in Philadelphia with our pro staff. It goes back even further than that. A month ago, we had our pro meeting, so we had our lists in order. And then really the last few days, it's been refining those, and it's been strategizing in terms of who's contacting who. As I said earlier, the strength of our office is not only the people, but the depth. And we were able to hit many lines at one time and have a great reach, if you will. So we had, as we would talk and get a sense from agents of what a lot of the framing was done in terms of what these deals would look like, the implication not only today but moving forward. Obviously in Chris and a lot of the guys, we were doing a lot of background research in terms of the analytics. And sort of what the math said, but obviously had all of our pro scouts in town. So I think we had a very good, it was what I liked about it is there was a calmness to the room. All these players, these are people we targeted, for specific roles. And it's, you never know what's going to happen. That bell goes off on July 1st, but I like the calmness. For a lot of the guys, it was their first time through it. But I like how the day ended.
You use analytics?
Well, we look at different things. There's obviously we lean heavily on our pro scouting staff, but I like to look at all different avenues. And I think looking at an analytical approach to me is another avenue.
Mm-hmm.
I compare it to the draft, and when you're talking about the combine, it gives you another look. It's another piece of information. So
a tool.
Another tool. These are things that we kind of look at and take into consideration, and ultimately you're judging. It's part of the puzzle when you make decisions.
You made a number of announcements yesterday. I just want to ask you about a few of them. I'll just give you the three. The decision to buy out Shane O'Brien, the decision not to qualify Paul Byron, and Chad Billings, who we understand has signed over in Russia. Can you just speak to those three players?
Yep. Well, Shane O'Brien, really the decision was made to – I spoke at length since being here with, both internally and with with Shane's representative. We were all in agreement that probably Shane moving on was in everybody's best interest. So we tried for a number of days and weeks to see if there was an opportunity to get Shane somewhere else. There wasn't. And so we made the decision to buy him out. Chad Billings, We have qualified him. We did know we'd been in contact with his agent throughout the process, knowing that he was going over there. I just feel it was an asset that, that we protected. And, you know, hopefully we wish him well in Europe. But, again, it's an asset worth retaining the rights. Paul Byron's a player we still have interest in. And, you know, we've had some discussions with Paul. What people have to understand is in Paul's case, and you saw it throughout the league in some cases, and I had talked with J.P. Perry, his representative, over the course of the last few weeks. His qualifying offer, if presented, Paul had a tremendous arbitration case that, you know, we weren't prepared to, at this particular time, take on. But that, Paul has received an offer. We've talked throughout the day on an offer. And we're going to continue to work that process to see if there's a conclusion that where brings Paul. So, but our door still remains open to Paul, and we'll see where that goes to over the course of the next little while.
Are you close to signing any of your RFAs right now?
You know, I wouldn't say we're close, and okay. That shouldn't be perceived that there's any type of issue. The timing of the season, if you will, and a lot of those RFAs, we're busy with other things,
yep.
and the agents are too, quite frankly. So they know those players. That I've exchanged some proposals on a number of the players, and that'll be the next order of business, is to catch up with them and see where they're at.
He's Brad Treliving, Flames GM. We had a couple technical difficulties, and we were talking to Jonas Hiller at the same time, so we missed the first little bit of the news conference. Can you just update? I heard you as I was fumbling with some things over there. I heard you address Camilleri and his exit from the organization, but what about some of the other UFAs from Westgarth to Butler? What is kind of the overall feel there? Have you made the decision to divest there?
Yeah, we'll be moving on from those players, and we wish them all the best. And, you know, in all cases, there were – you know, it's always hard decisions to move on from players, but, you know, just where we're at with an organization, we felt we needed to go in this direction.
England comes in, gives you a little bit more depth on that blue line, but is that still an area via trade, free agency, whatever, that you're still focused fairly heavily on?
I think that's fair. I think our number one area that I continue to look at is the blue line. And, you know, for a number, it's an area I think we need to continue to look to upgrade. And what I talked a little bit earlier of is one of the areas, again, we I've been clear about this, we're not going to just start rushing people into the NHL, but I do think we have some forwards up that are on the cusp. Mm-hmm. We saw some guys get some time here last year. We want to allow space if they're ready and it's earned, that there's opportunity there. We need to build that blue line in terms of depth, not only the NHL level, but organizationally. I don't, you know, we're not in a position where we're boxing people out right mm-hmm. now. And, you know, we've got some young guys that we like a lot, but there's a process that they have to go through in terms of playing pro games. So right now, if there's an area you say where I'm focused on, to me, it's the blue line right now.
And it's not just, it's organizational, right?
Absolutely.
It's not just at the NHL level.
Absolutely. And I think, like I said, we've spent a lot of picks here over the course of the last little bit up front. And we got to continue to add to that. But depth at all levels on the blue line is something that we're continuing to address. And we're working on it right now. There's, you know, some depth signings that we're talking about. We're continuing, you know, we may be close on some things here tonight. I've been actively involved in talking in the trade market mm-hmm. over the course of the last real 2 days, and we'll continue to explore it. It's I know it's people see the bell go off with the July 1st, and there's all the you don't yeah. stop building your team on July 2nd. Mm-hmm. You know, there's like, to me, I think we got some things done today that we want to accomplish, but I like, as I said, we're in a good position in terms of our cap. And the flexibility we still have.
Do you look at defensemen as just one group, or do you stratify your defensemen in terms of, you know, puck movers, stay at home? I mean, how many different categories of blue line are you looking
yeah,
at?
Yeah, I mean, I think obviously we, I like to have, what I like about our defense here is it's mobile.
Yeah.
I think we, but it's, you, I look at our defense also as the mix of your defense. Mm. You know, when you look at guys like, obviously Gio, you look at, Brody, Russell, guys that can move a puck, Weidman, and then you look at Schmid and you look at England coming in today. I think we've added a little bit of bulk and some defenders. Yeah. So to me, it's your mix, and But you know, we still have work to do there, and we'll continue to look at making ourselves better there.
You mentioned that you're not done and that the roster shaping continues. And we talked to you on Friday and Saturday on the draft floor, and I wonder since that time if there's been any development, not so much even specific to your team, but just the overall trade market. We saw some moves made today. Has that heated up at all? Has there been more phone calls and that type of thing?
Yeah, it's been busy on that front. I think in a lot of cases you're seeing stuff prior to free agency starting today. Some moves to free up space in certain situations, clear space in certain situations. You see now that, you know, there's maybe some opportunities where people have gone out and done some things that now I need to move money. And quite frankly, you see people now that, as it happens every year, that are left without a chair. And maybe the expectation of getting a certain dollar amount, a certain term, and maybe the expectations change now. So, you know, having flexibility is... it's key, and like I said, we don't play games till October right now. We want to make sure we continue to be open and available if those opportunities present themselves.
Hard to stay disciplined because you have been on mark about what mm-hmm. you're